DSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Tuesday morning. And it's time for our regular check-in with Rosemary Gildy, President and CEO of the Zeitarian Performing Arts Center, to find out about all the renovations happening over at the Z and keeping you abreast of everything you can expect to see when it reopens. Good morning, Rosemary. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, Tim. How are you? I'm well.
I'm doing very well, and I'm imagining that it won't be long before we'll be sitting in the nice, new, comfy seats of the Zeitarian seeing some great performances once again.
I know. It really won't be long. We see the light at the end of the tunnel, and for those of us who have been planning this for so long, it's very, very exciting.
So what are some of the projects that are still underway over there? What are they working on?
So today, I believe they're continuing the work in the theater, inside of the theater. And what they're doing there is they finished the new orchestra pit for the most part. They still have to put a top kind of ceiling on it. But now they have created these tunnels within the theater. So the theater is still a lot of dirt, but they've created these cement tunnels that'll go under the seats that will provide for the space and area to run all of the systems we need for HVAC. So heating, ventilation, cabling, our sound and lighting systems will, run under there. So that work is continuing. And then before you know it, when they're complete with that, which will be any day, they'll start pouring the floor, the brand new floor, which I think I've spoken about in the past, that, we are regrading the theater. So we call it raking, the rake of the theater. We're regrading the theater to improve the sight lines and to improve accessibility. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's something that, many, many theaters, especially historic theaters, never get the chance to do something like that. They never get the chance to change the sight lines and be able to improve the viewing experience.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out. We're very, very fortunate that that we're taking this on. The sight lines weren't terrible before, but there were a few areas of the theater because the grade was, the rake of the theater was kind of strange in certain areas that it wasn't so great. So we are going to certainly improve that. And secondary, we are improving the accessibility so that it won't have as severe of a kind of hill. I mean, it used to literally be a hill that people had to walk down if you were seated in the front of the theater. And so that's all going to be taken care of.
So now these tunnels that they put in, was there any kind of system like that before, or are they building these all from scratch?
There was a system before, but they've taken those all out. There was a very simplistic system. This is going to be much, much improved, and it's going to mean that the heat and the air conditioning will actually be circulated throughout the theater. So under the seats, where in the past, it's my understanding that it really just ran in the area of the aisles. So if you were in a seat that was in kind of the middle of the row, you weren't experiencing the best of either the air conditioning or the heat, and now you will.
And I know that, you know, when we took the behind-the-scenes tour before everything shut down, they pointed out a lot of the kind of the ornateness of the theater, that when you've gone in there before and you've sat there and you've had a chance to look at it, you know, you don't realize exactly what must go into refurbishing and keeping all of that nice and neat. And certainly the work that's been done on the chandelier has been amazing. I had no idea that the chandelier was that cleaning a chandelier was as complex as it is.
I know. It's true. So we have taken down this beautiful grand chandelier, and we've sent it off for cleaning and recabling to a company out in Connecticut called Grand Light. And they are, you know, doing the painstaking work of cleaning and repairing over 25,000 crystals within this chandelier. And then, you know, rewiring it and making it a light for the future, for the next 100 years. So that'll be amazing. And we're also going to be, you know, the theater is historic, and we have to maintain its historic nature. And so it really is a restoration. And so some of the other things that we're looking at are the tapestries. And so, you know, if you were looking around, you might have seen these huge tapestries that were, you know, kind of flanked theater walls. And those will be we'll put in acoustic panels underneath those tapestries, which obviously will be helpful in the theater, and replace all of the silk fabric, the tapestry that was behind that, you know, in front of it, and that'll look beautiful. When they finish pouring the wall and the floors in the theater, they're going to build an enormous staging, and so it'll fill the entire theater, so that the folks that come in and will be repainting and replastering the theater can do their work, as well as the tapestry work, on the walls and on the ceiling. And that will take a good amount of time. And I'm very much looking forward to that, because that work is hugely interesting.
And it's something that, you know, you look at it and you don't realize just how intricate some of that work is going to be. You know, you think, and the same thing with the chandelier. You think, okay, well, you're going to clean the chandelier. You don't realize, like, they have to use ultrasonic technology to be able to do that, because you don't want to damage any of these crystals that are so old and are so valuable and historic. And it's just, it's painstaking work, but the people who do this love that challenge. They love being able to get in there and work on something like the Zeitarian.
Of course. And yeah, it's true. It's amazing what we are learning along the way. And it is fascinating. You know, several years ago, we brought in a historic paint specialist from the Midwest. I can't remember which state, but he came in during the summer and put up scaffolding and staging throughout, and he painstakingly scraped away layers of paint to determine, you know, what was the original paint colors. And so we're using the findings from his work to inform, you know, the work that will happen in the next several months.
And when you look at kind of the timeline for a lot of these things, I mean, obviously, you know, we've talked a lot about the schedule of when all this will get done, but you also don't want these folks to have to rush through this job, because who knows when you'll get another opportunity to be able to renovate this and make it as fresh as it can be for the next 100 years.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. It really is a balance of, you know, staying on time and making, you know, sure that we're hitting deadlines and et cetera, with ensuring that the work is doing, you know, is being done well. And we're very, very fortunate. We have an incredible team. I've said this from the beginning of the work. We just got, you know, we did a lot of work as we were going into this project to ensure that, you know, a lot of research to ensure that we picked the best possible team that we could, and it's paid off. We have an incredible team working at this, and Colin Tony, our general contractor, is just a great partner, as is Wilson Butler, our architects and P3, our owners, project managers, and everyone involved is just the dream team here, and they understand that careful balance, as do we, and it means the product is going to be all the better and done efficiently and with with an eye towards a timeline, but not rushing through anything that could jeopardize the integrity of the project and its historic nature.
But with all that said, I mean, we're still on pace here for what was expected in terms of the timeline.
Yeah, it looks like we are on pace. We're hoping that they'll be finishing up in late fall. I'll learn a little bit more actually tomorrow what that means as to, you know, when they're finished, what that means as far as when we can reopen and, open our doors to the public. And we're very, very eager, to do that, as you can imagine.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it when all is said and done. Thank you for coming on and keeping us updated with everything that's going on. We'll talk to you along the way.
Thanks so much, Tim. I really enjoy these check-ins. Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll talk again soon. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
That is Rosemary Gill, the president and CEO of the Zeitarian Performing Arts Center. And again, we want to make sure that we keep you up to date with everything that's going on over there, because it's your building. It's your theater. You own it. The city of New Bedford owns it. So you want to know how that renovation is going. And it sounds like it's going to be amazing. And when you look at some, and you can go, by the way, to Zeitarian.org/renovations/updates. And you can see some of the work that they're doing. And when you see exactly how intricate that chandelier is, you will say to yourself, I wouldn't want the job of cleaning that. But it really is. It's amazing the way that they do it. And you can see some of the photos of how they're getting that done. So I'm excited to see how it all turns out. I've been in... As I mentioned, we got to take the behind-the-scenes tour, and you can read about that at WBSM.com. Just search WBSM Zeitarian Tour, and you'll find the story that we did. But you can see kind of some of the areas that are going to be updated and upgraded and renovated, and you realize, like, I never even thought about the things that go into that and how they're going to pull all that off. So, again, it takes people that have the skill and the artistry to be able to do it. And that's why we're lucky that they've been able to find the right people. And it's just going to be an amazing facility. I mean, it was already an amazing facility, but wait until it's done. Hearing about some of these upgrades and kind of envisioning them. And coming soon, we're going to get an inside look at what's going on over there and be able to share that with you. And it's just incredible that you have the benefit of getting your theater upgraded like this. Because, again, not a lot of these historic venues get this opportunity. Some of them just kind of have to stay the same over the years. So, as Rosemary said, you know, the sight lines weren't bad before, but it was also a theater that was built in the 1920s for a different type of performance than what's going on there now. And I don't know if it was ever regraded when it became a movie house, but, you know, if you've got a chance to have some of those outside corners have a better perspective and POV, then, hey, take advantage of it while you got that chance, right? And then heating and air conditioning that you can feel no matter where you're sitting, that's going to be huge. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. I was listening to all of that, and that's wonderful that, you know, they're doing all that. I am more interested in the Orpheum Theater mm-hmm. than I am the Zeitarian. I mean, that place, what are they doing? Is there anything new and no information yet?
Nothing new.
Because that's the place that really needs to be preserved, fixed up. I've seen all the photos that they've had here and there on the internet, some from BSM, some from other outlets. That was such an amazing place. And I've seen videos that people have made and posted on YouTube where I really got to see the inside the way it is. I mean, those faces on the outside, when you're driving by, you can't help but glance at it. It's right there. We don't have stuff like that anymore. And I'm more interested in that. I know Zaytoven, it's a great place. Yeah, but the other one, aren't there any millionaires that would invest into upgrading that place and making something out of it?
Well, first of all, the hard part is it's privately owned. So you'd have to be able to purchase the property. And then, if what the Zaytoven is doing is a $37 million renovation, it's going to cost upwards of $100 million to bring back the Orpheum, especially.
I'm sure.
It's only getting worse day by day inside of there.
And
there's nothing left in there. There's nothing left to really preserve anymore. So much of even what's in those photos is gone now.
Well, maybe not preservation, but make something new there without having to destroy what is left. Like those faces on the outside, you're not going to see anything better than that in the whole city of New Bedford. Nothing like that. And the owners, I know you say it's privately owned, so they're not interested in doing anything.
No.
I noticed they haven't knocked it down. Thank goodness they haven't done that. We need to do something. I mean, and we need to get more of this generation. The children that are growing today don't know much about what's been there, what is still there. People need to speak to their children, their grandchildren, those that are coming up, great-grandchildren, and let them know about the city and things that are still here. So even when 100 years, like this, I tell you, you're talking about 100 years from now, well, 100 years from now, how many children that are growing up today are going to even know anything about it or even care? We have to look to the future. In my lifetime, I would hate to see that Orpheum go down. Every time I drive by, I make a point of looking at it and the sadness about it.
I mean, I would hope that if it was ever going to get taken down, and I'm honestly surprised that it hasn't, because you would think that would be prime real estate along Route 18. But if it was going to get taken down, I'd hope that those, I don't know if they call those faces grotesques those faces, but that's generally what they call these raised relief faces. You know, I would like to see those, preserved, and maybe those could be put on the Zaytoven exterior.
Well, if they had to do that, I hate to see it transported to another building that really doesn't have anything to do with it. But I see your point. I do see your point. I just wish, I don't know, I heard my grandparents speaking about it when they were alive and everything. It's just so sad, because that is a structure there that you can't miss it. No matter what street you're going down, it's right there. And I think it's awesome.
And it was also a building that had a long history besides just being a theater as well. But I mean, I don't even think people realize why, there's an Orpheum in New Bedford and an Orpheum in Boston like that. It was a circuit. These were the vaudeville circuits that people used to travel on. And so you would do and eventually they were purchased by RKO and they became movie houses. But for a long time, like, there were major, major stars of entertainment that were coming through New Bedford and playing on those stages.
Yes. I don't know what's in the head of the owner. I mean, is he an old person or a young woman, or who owns it now? And why aren't they discussing anything about it? I'm sure that there's a lot of people that would invest to turn that into something, leaving those faces right where they are.
I don't know. I think it's very cost prohibitive, but I've talked to a lot of people that said, where the Zaytoven tends to book a certain type of act, why not have the Orpheum be renovated and have that be, the other type of act? So if the Zaytoven doesn't want to book, say, hard rock bands, the hard rock bands could play the Orpheum. But I think the problem is again, it's you've got to A, get the building away from the person that owns it, but then also B, it's going to cost you so much money to renovate it that, somebody would say, I'd rather just knock it down and build a brand new state-of-the-art facility.
Mm. So the person that owns it, it's as if they're just they don't want to sell it, so they're just going to wait until it's going to fall down.
Well, they own the building, so they have the businesses that are also in the building.
Oh, there are businesses still in there.
As far as I know, yeah.
Wow.
So it's more of a matter of, it's more of a matter of the theater is just this building, just this part of the building that's attached to what they're already utilizing, and they were using it for storage.
Money, yeah, they're getting rent then.
Yeah,
maybe that's
so
why they don't want. Yeah, they're getting rent, so.
So it's going to be something.
How many businesses are in there? Do you know? Could you tell me?
I don't.
I haven't gone in there.
I haven't been over there in a while.
Well, maybe somebody listening knows, but that when I heard you guys talking about the Zyterian, that's great. And I know they're doing something with the Capitol too, but I mean that Orpheum, that's always been a wonder to me. I mean, even when I was in my 30s or 40s, I'd say, gee, look at that. There's nothing. Can't do nothing with that, you know? And I was interested at that age. So I don't know about the generation today. They probably don't even look at it, you know? They got their faces buried in their phones. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. You have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
And I just got a message from City Councilor Ian Avery, who says that the Three Stooges played there when they were, you know, Ted Healy and his Stooges back in the 1920s. That's back when they were a vaudeville act. And I know the Marx Brothers also played the Orpheum Circuit. So I've always wondered if the Marx Brothers came through and played in New Bedford. I would not be surprised. They were on that circuit. And certainly if they were coming to Boston, they would have stopped in New Bedford and played a show. So those are just some of the, you know, the legends that have taken that stage. And we could end up losing that someday. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. By the way, just a little bit more trivia about the New Bedford Orpheum Theater. I think a lot of folks probably know that it closed down in 1960 because there are still some folks listening who probably remember going to the Orpheum Theater. But did you know when it opened? It actually opened on April 14th, 1912, the day before the sinking of the Titanic. All right, it's time to go now into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
The latest Trump tariffs target steel and aluminum, senior sleep problems plaguing many, and gift ideas for your former Valentine.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump is signing executive orders to bring 25% tariffs on imported steel and aluminum. In his first term, Trump imposed 25% tariffs on steel and 10% on aluminum. According to the White House, the effort on Monday includes provisions intended to reinstate the full power of the steel tariffs. Another wave of the flu has hit the nation. Tammy Trujillo reports.
Health officials say the rapid rise in cases is causing doctor visits for flu-related symptoms to reach their highest in 15 years. Visits to providers for respiratory illnesses were close to 8% last year, which is the highest since the swine flu outbreak. The CDC estimates there have been 24 million cases of the flu this season, causing more than 300,000 hospitalizations and 13,000 deaths. Recent data shows that 45 states remain in the high or very high category for flu activity. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
The Department of Justice is set to drop the federal corruption case against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. CNN obtained a memo sent by Acting Deputy Attorney General Emil Bove that instructed the acting U.S. Attorney for the Southern District to dismiss the charges as soon as possible. Charges were brought against Adams last year in what was the first prosecution of a sitting mayor in New York City history. Officials say one person has died after two business jets collided on the ground at Scottsdale Airport in Arizona. Scottsdale Fire Department spokesman Dave Folio said another person was extricated from one of the jets. The FAA says a Learjet veered off the runway after landing and crashed into a Gulfstream. At least 51 people are dead in Guatemala after a bus crashed into a polluted ravine. A Guatemala City fire spokesman said the bus was crossing a bridge when it fell 65 feet over a cliff. The Guatemalan president said, quote, their pain is my pain, and has declared 3 days of national mourning. Geriatric researchers at Yale School of Medicine say up to half of seniors complain about sleep problems. Sarah Lee Kessler reports.
That's as many as 27 million Americans. Experts at Yale say health issues are often to blame, as well as side effects from prescription drugs, including blood pressure medication. Dr. Brienne Miller says adults over 65 need 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night. They recommend going to bed at the same time each night and reducing alcohol and caffeine consumption. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
And with Valentine's Day right around the corner, what better time to get petty revenge on an ex and do some good at the same time? A number of zoos around the country are offering the opportunity to name an animal after an ex. that will then be fed to a zoo animal. At the San Antonio Zoo, for example, you can name a cockroach, a rodent, or even a vegetable. At the Lehigh Valley Zoo in Pennsylvania, you can name a fish for feeding to a penguin. In Fort Worth, the donation will get a pound of poo dedicated to an ex.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Celtics beat the Miami Heat last night. Next game Wednesday, home at TD Garden with the San Antonio Spurs.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Some sunshine followed by mostly cloudy skies in the afternoon, a high of 35 degrees. On Wednesday, pre-dawn snow showers are possible, especially along the coast. Otherwise cloudy, snow developing overnight, high of 35. On Thursday, an icy mix and rain during the morning, turning windy in the afternoon, a high of about 40. And on Friday, it looks like we clear out, bright and breezy, with a high around 32. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
In 508-996-0500. So the Orpheum did go up for sale a couple of years ago. Off the market now. So I don't know if anybody purchased it. It was up for sale for $599,000. And as you know, the Central Food Market warehouse there was the primary business that was in it. I don't know if that's still open or not. But I know people who were involved in the Orpheum Rising project and were trying to resurrect that theater. And then, you know, they got into some issues with the owner, where the owner was originally on board with letting them try to resurrect the theater and then changed his mind. And the whole thing turned into a disaster. And I don't know who purchased it or what happened from there. Or if they just took it off the market and said, we'll wait and see if somebody wants to buy it again later. But the bottom line is, I don't think it's ever coming back as a theater. I think that the cost is too expensive. And even if you brought it back at a modest level, you know, like you didn't have all of the state-of-the-art upgrades like the Zyterian is putting in, you're still looking at a project that's going to cost you tens of millions of dollars to be able to renovate. And there are very few people that would have the money and the desire to do that. I mean, I had mentioned it years ago to Ernie Bach, because Ernie is very much a huge supporter of the arts. As you know, he has the Music Drives Us Foundation, and he's a billionaire. And I suggested to Ernie, I was like, you know, you could turn that into your own music venue. And he's like, oh, yeah, we could look into that. And then he ends up, you know, turning the Wang Center into the Box Center, the Wang Theater into the Box Center. So I guess, you know, he went with the one that was kind of already turnkey. But I thought that it would have been a great fit I just don't know that there's anybody else that would have the appetite to take that building and give it all that it needs. The biggest problem is there's nowhere to park, really. There are things around there to do, but is that an area where people are going to come and want to spend time like they do when they go to the Zeiterion, they go downtown? So that's kind of the hang up, too, on top of just getting the building and renovating it. And trust me, I would love to see as many of these old theaters restored as possible. I mean, I even was sad when the Buzzards Bay Theater got torn down. That place was a dump. But I was like, well, that's where I saw Forrest Gump. I went on a date that was an accidental date. I didn't know it was a date. I thought we were going with a bunch of friends, and then all the friends had agreed not to show up, so it was just me and the girl. Like, I saw many, many movies there because for a time, I could just ride my bike down there. That's where I saw Showgirls. When I wasn't old enough to see Showgirls, my friend who was went in and opened the back door of the theater for us to sneak in. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of memories associated with that building, but it was a dump. I still would have liked to have seen it resurrected. The Bijou Theater. Anybody that ever went to the Bijou knew that it was barely a movie theater. But wouldn't you love to see that come back? Cinema 140. And these are just places where we saw movies. These aren't even places that have the historic value of, say, the Orpheum, where, as Counselor Aber pointed out, Ted Healy and his Stooges, the original incarnation of the Three Stooges Act, played there. And that would have been what it was, Mo, Larry, and Shemp working with Ted Healy. The Marx Brothers likely played there. I don't have the definitive proof that they did, but they were on the Orpheum circuit going back as far as 1886. They were still on the Orpheum circuit in 1912 when the theater opened. It's entirely possible. Then they made the move to Broadway. And then who knows where it went from there. But again, the the amount of people that were on that Orpheum circuit. The stars that were associated with it. W.C. Fields, Fanny Brice, Bill Bojangles Robinson. Harry Houdini was on the Orpheum circuit. Gypsy Rose Lee, for those who wanted to go see the more adult performances. And that theater was actually at the time that Martin Beck was still booking all of these acts, the guy who founded the Orpheum circuit. There are very few original Orpheum buildings still standing, and that's one of them. There's maybe two dozen that are still in operation. And then New Bedford and Champaign, Illinois are the only ones that are still standing but are closed. As you know, the Orpheum in Boston is still in business. That's from 1906. And that's also a place that has seen better days. I don't know. I haven't been there in a long time. Maybe they've upgraded it, but it was definitely there's a reason why, you know, the rock bands played it. Because it was kind of already trashed. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. Welcome back, and that is London Beat, one of my favorite songs. And earlier I played Maxi Priest, and Participation Trophy Wife says, back in the 90s, Maxi Priest and Shaggy were playing the Cape Cod Melody Tent, and they visited the local radio station and performed That Girl live on the air. So the radio station on the Cape, I don't know if it's the same one, because there was a couple that would have played that, but the back in the days when I lived on the Cape, I lived in Sandwich and Forestdale when I was in the 6th and 7th grades into 8th grade before I moved to Wareham. And we had Cape 104, which I can say because it's not Cape 104 anymore. And actually, some of the folks from Cape 104 are part of our company now. But listening to that station every night, they had the top 9 at 9. And if you called in, they might let you be the guest DJ to announce one of the songs. And then if you were the guest DJ, you won a prize. And so I got to be the guest DJ for the number one song of the night is Everything I Do It For You by Bryan Adams. And I got to go pick up a prize. So I made my parents drive down to Yarmouth to where the Cape 104 studios were so I could pick up my prize, which was a cassette tape of Nelson's After the Rain album, which was a great album for 90s hair bands. And so I had to drive my, and it's funny because my dad was like, he hated driving down Suicide Alley, which is what they called that section of the Cape Highway back then. And so we went down there to pick that up and I was like, oh, can I see the studio? And so they let me look inside the studio, and that was my first time being in a radio studio. So yeah. So it was Cape 104 that ignited my, I mean, I'd always been a radio fan, but that was the one that let me actually get in the door. And then when I was in college, I used to go hang out with Jeff Charles at HJY, right? I wrote an article about him for the school paper, and then he showed me how to get in through the bathroom door. They had a way to get in from the outside through the bathroom. Joey in New Bedford says, New Bedford has some big decisions to make. It would be more important for the city to look at all these church buildings that are just left there sitting. St. Joseph, St. John, St. Killian's, and others. Plymouth has the Spire Center. It's a perfect way to repurpose a building like we did with your theater. The downside, I mean, the obstruction to that is that those buildings are owned by the diocese. And so they have to be the ones to make the decision to get rid of them. It's not something that the city has any control over. But yeah, it would be nice to see one of those turn into a similar venue like the Spire Center, which is just a fantastic venue. I'd love to see them turn one of those churches into that. But again, you know, it's the diocese that has to make that decision. And I guess they're just happier to have those empty buildings sit there. I guess they don't care about the money. But you care about money. And if you want to save money on your electric bill every month, why not go solar, right? That's what they say. They say that you can actually get paid to go solar. Is that true? Well, Isaacson Solar can sit down and go over all of that with you. All you have to do is go to isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com, and find out more about what they can do for you, how they can put solar panels, integrate solar panels into your property, not just put them on your property, integrate them into your property, whether it be putting them on your roof, putting them in the yard, putting them way out back so that nobody ever sees them, or maybe building you a carport or a solar pavilion so that you get an added benefit to your home in addition to collecting all those solar rays. And they'll let you know exactly how long it's going to take to get a return on that investment and when the electric company will start paying you for the power you're generating. The only way to find out, though, is to sit down and talk with them. IsaacsonSolar.com is the place to go to make that appointment. I-S-A-K-S-E-N, IsaacsonSolar.com. We'll be back in just a few moments to wrap things up. I'm not out of touch, but I'm out of time. Before I leave, though, I got to give a little suggestion out there to all the guys looking for that last-minute Valentine's Day gift. Why wait till the last minute? Why not get ahead of it and get it right now by heading over to the Potting Bench? Because you can get something right now, today, have it delivered Thursday. Be ahead of the game. Then you'll look like you are really, really thinking about this all the time. But really, you're just going to have Danielle and her team find the right gift for you. Or you can set it up for delivery on Friday as well. Whether it be flowers, a floral arrangement, a plant, balloons, whatever it may be, call the Potting Bench Florists and Gifts, and they'll help you find the perfect over-the-top gift, and they'll have it delivered on Valentine's Day, if not before. Plus, they've got great gifts for the kids. Anybody else that you need to buy a Valentine's Day gift for, the perfect gift is waiting for you at the Potting Bench Florists and Gifts. It's